Probably do.
Maybe we survive anyway. Just like the people in Thailand. You know Thai? Thailand. They are like Japanese. Change very quickly. The Japanese are strange. We don't react to crisis until something terrible happens. Until oil price hits, we don't need to do anything. We use electricity as long as you want. We drive our cars as if nothing's happening in Iran. Right? And what we are concerned about is only tomorrow. What to do tomorrow? Whether or not I could pass such and such college entrance examination. This is far more important. So if I look at the whole thing again, territorial survival, economic survival, political culture, I would say territorially, we are in a very difficult situation. Yes. Economically, also, I think we are in a difficult situation. Although we are making lots of money, but it's not really stable. The real problem, as everybody knows, is the fact that we don't have natural resources. So if something happens to the weather, it causes trouble. If something happens to some small country in the Middle East, it causes trouble. If something happens to a big country, the USA, who buys 24-5% of Japanese products, then we get into trouble. So in that sense, I think economically Japan is not as stable as you think it is. Although internationally, you know, Japan is considered one of the most stable countries. The most stable one is Switzerland, USA, West Germany, and Japan. Japan is the fourth most stable country in the world. That's what they say according to Geopoll. This is April issue Geopoll. So maybe we're pretty stable. But I'm rather concerned about this territorial security and economic survival. Politically and culturally, I am a little more optimistic because we are very stable. We are a homogeneous people. So we don't want to change so much. Even if we adopt all kinds of ideologies, but they are all borrowed ideologies. And I think Japan believes in Japanism, Nihonkyo, like Isaiah Benda-san pointed out. So Japanese wouldn't really change so much. So perhaps as far as the 21st century is concerned, that is 20 years from now, I would say, so long as there are no big changes in world politics and world trade, Japan can survive. Now, I didn't mention about energy because in the previous lecture, I talked about oil and other things, so I skipped that. Some say maybe we have only 30 years of supply of oil. Some say maybe 200 years, maybe 300 years. Nobody knows exactly what it is. But maybe it's a good idea to keep the worst possible situation first so that you won't be too shocked when the real time of crisis arrives. Do you have any comments on this? Now, my opinion is basic, sort of a little pessimistic and a little optimistic, so unrealistic, maybe. I didn't talk about communication problems. This is going to be a serious problem. Maybe I should talk about it a little bit. Now, fortunately, perhaps you're studying English. And English still is going to be a very important language for quite some time. I'm sure until the 21st century, at least until the beginning of the 21st century, English will remain to be a fairly important language. So when you have a chance to negotiate with non-Japanese, chances are that you're going to use the English language. Or maybe you hire an interpreter. I hope you don't do that. Last night, I was watching a very interesting program. Gerald Ford, have you ever heard the name? Former President of the United States of America. He's right now visiting Japan. And some of the leaders in this country were talking with him on television. And I shouldn't mention a particular name, but I was rather disappointed with the way the president of Sankei Shimbun was asking a question. He never came to the point. He was round and round and round. Was he asking a question, or was he answering his own question, or was he just dreaming about something? I don't know. So perhaps the interpreter must have a terrible time trying to figure out, because even though I'm a Japanese, I had to stop and really think hard exactly what this guy was trying to say. On the other hand, Keiichi Miyazawa, the former Secretary General of the Economic Planning Agency, Keizai Capture Choga, he can negotiate with Americans or other people in English. So when he talks in Japanese, he is trying to say very logically what he has in mind, so that the interpreter can interpret his Japanese very quickly. Sometimes he throws in a few difficult English words. He said, Akashi Zaisei, tsumari, deficit finance, and something like that. If the interpreter doesn't know Akashi Zaisei, he's helping the interpreter. He's a very kind speaker. Also, he talks, usually when he talks, he emphasizes only one point. He never puts so many different points in one sentence. Many Japanese people, particularly so-called leaders, they say all kinds of complex things. But Japanese are mood-oriented people. So they think they understand. Sometimes you are nodding, even if you don't understand, you say, Then if I say, okay, repeat what I said, I don't know. See? This is the way many Japanese are. And if people, Japanese leaders talk like that in the international conferences, you know what happens? One reaction is that the Japanese people are hiding something. That's one very common reaction. The other, the Japanese leaders are stupid. Well, how do you defend this? This is true. Or interpreters are poor, they say. So sometimes if miscommunication occurs, Taiwan International Company gets the blame. Really true. So the interpreters have a very difficult time. I feel sorry for them. But if you listen to the Japanese speakers, oftentimes Japanese logic is strange. There is no logic. It's mood-oriented language, as I said. And so-called myoki, introduction is long, long, and then where is the point? No point. So this is the way we like to talk. No beginning, no middle part, no ending, no nothing. Then we say, nantonaku wakachata. We somehow feel we understand. Next time, when you have a chance, please listen to the Japanese political leaders talk. Mr. Ohira, doesn't matter, whoever he is. And try to translate. Whether or not you can do it, it's an extremely difficult job to do. So you have to be a mind reader. Mind reader. Japanese say, stomach reader, harage. You have to read the mind of other person. So can we, using our this method of communicating, can we communicate outside the world? This is a challenge that you have to solve, you have to face, and you have to solve. The younger people, this is a burden on the younger people. So I would say maybe our survival depends very much upon our diplomatic skill, our use of language, English in this instance. How to use English accurately, correctly, properly, this is extremely important. And one thing I tell you, the non-Japanese speak 10 times as much as Japanese do. Americans talk a lot more than Japanese. When you say one, they say ten words. And you don't know how when to get the word in edgewise, how to get involved in the conversation. It's very difficult. I noticed when I was back in the United States, a lot of Japanese scholars are sitting, just nodding. Mm-hmm. So they think they are understanding when we are not understanding. And later, Japanese complain. Well, Americans talk too much, they're idiots. So you have to learn how to talk fast, like machine guns. Pakistanis, Indians, I talked with, they are fast talkers. Very aggressive talkers. They think they are right. Now, tonight you're going to hear a debate, right? I don't think debate is perhaps the most important thing in the world, but many non-Japanese argue that way. So whether we like it or not, we have to learn how to debate. So when you're talking among Japanese, don't debate, maybe, except for practice. When you're talking with Americans or other people, you have to learn to debate. You have to learn how to ask nasty, difficult questions, like why, how, give me the evidence. This is very important. And if you say, I somehow feel this way, you're finished. You're no good. They think you're crazy or stupid. Don't say, I somehow feel. You have to say, okay, according to the statistics I got from Prime Minister's office, in a book, page 35, it says, this is the way they argue. This becomes very persuasive. Carry statistical information with you. What percentage of population doing what type of thing? Concrete, specific. This is a communication I think you'll have to be able to carry on. Otherwise, communication becomes very difficult. So when I talk about survival, communication is also included. How to persuade other people? People say, we are making too much money. Okay, what's wrong with too? That's what you should think. What's wrong with making too much money? Before 1964, Japan's balance of payments was in the red. After that, it turned into the black. Before. So when we are in Akashi, nobody complained about Japan. America said, okay, you're a good boy, stay there. So long as you're a little boy, it's okay. But we start growing and challenging the big brother. Then big brother didn't like it. So if you are a tough negotiator, you should point out these things. Until 1964, you are saying, okay, now what happened? You said, Americans, you tried to make a showcase out of Japan, a democracy in the Far East, or Switzerland in the Far East. All these nice things you said. Now we try to be like that, and we were very successful in doing that. Now you complain. How come? Aren't you contradicting yourself? You can fight like that. But very few Japanese negotiators, if they can do it. Some say there are only two leaders in Japan who can do it. One is Ushiba Taishi, right? Ambassador Ushiba, and Miyazaki. Those two are the only two people who can talk back to the Americans or Europeans. They say no. The Japanese don't know how to say no. So you may have to learn the skill if you want to be international negotiators. Also, you have to know disagreement is perfectly normal. We should learn how to agree to disagree. You understand that? We should agree to disagree. We shouldn't think it's terrible to disagree. Disagree is a perfectly normal thing. When the Jewish people, two people, you know, get together, they say, they fight always. Argue. As I understand, Jewish people are the best debaters in the world. Tough. So if you look at the great scholars or negotiators, you know, a lot of Jewish people, because they have been persecuted by many nations in the past several centuries. So they learned how to fight. But Japan grew up in a glass house almost, no? So we are very fragile flowers, and we use very polite language. So this type of expression. But they said, no, you're wrong. They said, are you out of your mind? Are you crazy type of thing? And they often pound desks, tables, when they negotiate. Japanese, they don't do that. Typical great Japanese negotiator is like Mr. Ohia. That's kind of thing, you know. And people say, yes, yeah, I understand. So, negotiation, that's what we do. But this is very good in Japan. People don't think it's so strange. But in Japan, it's a sign of stupidity. Or in Europe, too. And as I said, in Asian countries, Koreans, they are great debaters. When they hate Japanese, they really argue. Because I have a number of Korean friends. Japanese have money, but they have lost their tongues, they say. They don't know how to talk. So if you feel you want to survive, if you really want to survive through the 21st century, why don't you try to be a good debater and discussant? Not necessarily emotionally, but I suggest that you try to be logical, and have statistics, have data. Of course, statistics are questionable sometimes, right? So you can, if you are very careful debater, you can even challenge the statistics. But you have to learn that sort of skill. Now, I'm not saying Japanese way of communication is completely bad. I'm not saying that. But since we have to survive in the international community who do not necessarily understand the way we think, we've got to learn their methods. Now, I don't think Japanese language is going to become an international language. See? What do you think? Do you think Japanese will become an international language someday? I doubt it. So you might as well be a realistic person. Try to learn the most commonly accepted language and use the language and the logic the language has. It so happens that English is the most popular language today. Maybe 20 years from now, Chinese may become a very, very strong language. You may regret, I don't know. But anyhow, think about it later. Right now, we are thinking about how to survive the 21st century. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4, then finally I mentioned 5, the fifth point, that is communication, right? Think about these things when you learn English. There are other things I have omitted to think about. That is, how to behave towards undeveloped countries, poor countries. I didn't mention that simply because it's going to be too big a question. But also it's a very, very serious issue. So someday we can think about that. We know too little about Asians, too little about Africans, we know too little about Latin Americans, too little about Middle Eastern countries. So maybe this is a time for us to shift our focus, our attention to the non-Western world. I think the time has come. I have 5 more minutes to go. Wait a minute. No, 15 minutes. Actually, Mr. Tungsten, he has to make an answer. Okay, I'll end 10 after 8. So if you have any comments, whatever you want to say, please raise your questions. Do you think I talk too fast? Mr. Stroman goes real nice and soft, right? I go brrr, so some people complain about it. Any comments, any reaction, any questions? Yes, Mr.
If you can learn where we're thinking and not abandoning our traditional communication, I think we can make really grand things.
That's good Japanese way of thinking, huh? You mix them. Eclectic, this is a Chushi type of thing. Eclectic. Probably you're right. I think, you know, what I do is I am an actor. I'm an actor. When I talk to Japanese people, I use a sort of Japanese logic, and I try to be as ambiguous as I can. When I talk to English-speaking people, I change. So I'm two-faced, in a good sense. Usually two-faced is not so good, huh? So if you are skillful enough, you wear two masks, one Japanese, the other sort of, I don't know what they call, foreign mask. And, but I feel this way. If you're really confident about yourself, even if you're a typical Japanese man or woman, if you have something about you that you can be proud about, maybe you can be a very attractive personality. So certainly there's no need for us to abandon everything that we have. That's true. Perhaps the non-Japanese people will come to Japan in larger numbers. This is happening already. And there will be more and more international marriage. There's no question about that. Every year, not only between Japanese Americans, but with all kinds of nationalities. Whenever I go to this kind of party, you know, I can count about 15, 20 different nationalities. So, suddenly, there are more and more opportunities for you to travel abroad and perhaps stay there, not just for a short period of time, but for a fairly long period of time. And that means you may have a chance to settle down there. You may not come back to Japan. So, don't think Japan is the only country to live. You can be a good ambassador by staying, say, in, you know, Tanganyika, and, you know, for 20, 30 years. What's wrong with that? You may live in Burma for many, many years. You may marry a man or girl there. You may have a family. That's a perfectly possible thing to do. And if you really think about today's communication and transportation system, you can come back here very easily. No problem whatsoever. So my feeling is that there will be more and more interracial mixture or inter-ethnic mixture among the people. That means you have to change parts of the way you live. But also you notice how they try to adjust to our lifestyle too. So I see sometimes so-called gaijin ladies carrying babies with nenneko. Some of them, they think it's very good, nice and warm, you know, during the winter time. So they are changing. Now, American Indians used to carry a baby, you know, have you ever seen a picture of a baby facing the other way? That's American Indian's way, right? And the white people imitated that. So I think if two cultures, three cultures, or different cultures are mixed, there is some sort of strange chemical reaction there. And a lot of things will change. But at the same time, a lot of foreign people come to Japan seeking something uniquely Japanese. They would like to hear koto. They would like to hear sansan. But if you say, I have never seen one, they will be very disappointed. So in that sense, I think certain things should be preserved. That's true. But when it comes to money, trade, and all these things, territory, it's a little different story. You have to be a tough negotiator. It's a give and take world. So you have to really carry on. Okay. Mr. Nag, you raise your hand. Okay, you have a question? Have you forgotten your question?
Yeah. I think the relation between Japan and Chinese is more important in the 21st century. So maybe instead of English, we should learn the Chinese, I think. So what do you think about it?
Yes, I have always felt that way. Why not Korea? Chinese. Certainly, sure. Of course, some sort of Polynesian languages are also good. In other words, you can learn anything you want. Maybe Torimatsu no Koto, Chingoku Senmon Gakko. Someday, adopt another language, sure. I think Japanese are flexible enough to change. So I'm sure the time will come that we'll do that. And I'm sort of thinking of studying Chinese now. I happen to know somebody who was born between a Japanese mother, Chinese mother and Japanese father. He was born in Shanghai, and he wants me to help him with his English. So I said, okay, I'm going to help him with my Chinese. He said, okay. So I may learn how to speak Shanghai dialect, I hope. So I'm interested. I tried Chinese 3 months and I gave up. Because this tone of language is very hard, you know, like ni hao, like it's very hard. But I was too stupid. You know, I gave it up so quickly. I'd like to pick it up again, and someday I'd like to visit China. So we don't have to stick to English alone. I think English is fine. We don't have to make an enemy out of the English language. We don't need to do that. But we can add one more, two more languages. Yes, in that sense, we can be more cosmopolitan, more international, right? Anything else? So instead of saying, you know, staying in Japan all the time, why don't you try to go outside without any particular purpose? Just go there and stay there. Instead of thinking coming back to Japan all the time, you know. A lot of people travel 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and say, kaigai ryoko, it's finished. But that's not really, I think it's a waste of money. Why don't you stay there for a fairly long period of time? At least 5 years, I think so, yeah? Because first year, you get the culture shock. If you come back within 1 year, you come back with a terrible impression of the country. If you stay there 2-3 years, you have a balanced view of the country. Right? So suddenly you need more than 3-4 years to stay. Anyway, our job is to survive just through the 21st century, but we have to think of other nations' survival as well. we have to surrender to the other. I haven't mentioned so-called foreign aid, an angel. This is something we have to think about very, very seriously. It doesn't mean money, no, not necessarily, but people like you go there and live there, help, you know, either, I don't know, teaching Japanese, or maybe you can become a farmer, whatever you want. Mr. Aoyama, you are studying Hindu, right? Hindu. So you are studying something different. That's very, very good. And you are studying English too. So you become a trilingual person, three languages. So I think there will be more and more people like that who can speak three languages. And that's wonderful. I really think so. Why don't we try to expand our vision, expand our mental horizon? And I think you can do that. You have youthfulness, and you seem to have a lot of stamina. So, by the time I become 60 years old, you are very successful international communicators. Okay? Mr. Takeshi, shall I stop at this point, or should I do? If the room is too warm, well, okay, thank you very much for listening, and enjoy the rest of the camp. Okay, thank you.